hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks for joining us today. Last week, I mentioned how thankful and excited I was and am for this series. I love that we get to dig into some difficult questions, some difficult topics, and see the scriptures for what they are. While the scriptures are at times difficult to understand, they are ultimately trustworthy. In their original manuscripts, they are inerrant, in that they are without error, they are without flaw, they are perfect, and they're trustworthy and they're true. And we can never waver from that foundation. The Bible's critical. And I'm so thankful again that we get to work through some of these difficult questions. And yet, I will also say that this past Sunday, this past week, one of, if not the most challenging week of preparation and study I have ever had. And so, absolutely brutal. Why we chose to do this series, I have no idea. Anyway, we looked at Exodus and the dynamic between God hardening Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh hardening his heart. And as you studied and as you sat on Sunday, I'm sure, you know, whoever was teaching worked through that, and we can see both. And we can see then ultimately how God is working all of that for his glory. And so I think there are theological things that are really important for us to understand. I think it's important that we understand that God is sovereign in the sense that he is in control. He is working all things. There's nothing that is outside of God's vision. There's nothing that surprises God. There is nothing you can do to derail the plan of God. When Satan tricked Eve and Eve sinned, it wasn't like God said, "Oh no, I did not see this coming." God knows what he's doing, and he is in control. And that is a theological reality that we need to cling to. In the case of Pharaoh, I think we need to understand the context that God was working to reveal his glory, his power, his might, not just to Egypt, but to the whole world. When Israel is in the wilderness and they come to Jericho, it's Rahab who says, "Look, we heard about what happened in Israel. We heard about your great God who worked all of those wondrous things." God is proving to the world, revealing himself to the world to say, "I am God. There are no other gods before me. I am." And when you think about the overall then context, I think it helps give some peace in working through and understanding, well, why did God continue to harden Pharaoh's heart? And I also think Pharaoh is hardening his heart. And it's like, well, it's bigger than just that apparent contradiction. The context here is key, that God is doing something tremendous and he's revealing his glory. And so again, it's important to understand that theological reality. And yet, I completely understand that in believing that God is ultimately in total and complete control, that can raise some scary questions. If God is the one who hardens a heart, how can then God hold somebody accountable for their sin? If God is the one who gives faith, how can God hold accountable those who do not have it? These are some of the most difficult questions we can ask and we can answer. And so ultimately, I think we need to be reminded that we are all deserving of wrath and none of us are deserving of grace. The fact that God gives any of us grace just speaks to his incredible glory, his incredible love, and his incredible goodness. And while the Bible in Romans chapter 9, for example, makes it clear that God makes vessels of honorable and dishonorable use, the Apostle Paul turns around himself and says in verse 20 of 2 Timothy 2, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master, for a house ready for every good work." And so the way the Bible presents these things is that, look, God is in control, but don't allow that theological reality to cause you to mistakenly believe that God does not also give us agency and accountability, that he does not also call us toward a genuine personal humbling of our hearts, a humbling of our ego, of our pride, to say, God, I need you. I have sinned against you. I trust you. Make me into a vessel of honorable use. And the scriptures present both of those realities hand in hand, and they seem to see no difficulty reconciling those two things. And so I think we need to live in response to that. And that's been helpful for me, being reminded God is in control. Praise God, right? I'm so thankful that I'm not ultimately in control. It gives me a lot of peace. It gives me a lot of comfort knowing that he has chosen me, that he loves me, that he's got a plan he is working out that will happen. Like, it's going to happen. Praise God. I find a lot of confidence in that. And I also find a lot of personal urgency knowing that one day I will stand before the Lord and I will need to give an account for my life. I know and I have a confident conviction that every single person who lives will have to answer and will either be found in Christ or outside of him. And that is such a serious thing. I can't almost find words to describe how serious that is. And so, Lord, I want to pray, I guess, for us today to say, Lord, help us have the right confidence in your control and the right healthy understanding of the critical role that you have given us and the accountability that each of us individually have and the way you want to use us to reach other people to see them reconcile to you. Like, Lord, help us hold these two tensions in hand. Help us have a right view of them and help us live accordingly. And so with that in mind, I want to pray for us, and I want to pray for you, and want to say thanks again for joining us on the DriveCast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Lord, just as I said before, help us have a confidence in your control, your sovereignty, and help us worship you, seeing how you're working all things for good, for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, also help us understand that we are accountable, and that we will stand before you one day, and so too will everyone in the world, whether they know you or not. And so help us see the role that you have assigned to us to go and to make disciples. How will they believe if they have not heard? Says the Apostle Paul, the same man who talks about your great sovereignty and your election in Romans 9, says that we need to go out and share the gospel desperately in Romans 10. And so, Lord, help us live out those two truths. Help us understand how you desire us to live, and help us live in accordance with that. We ask it in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.